Texas City, a flaming torch. Towering pillars of smoke and fire envelop the Gulf Coast town in a three-day horror of explosion, flame, and gas that ranks it as the greatest North American disaster in 30 years. Starting with the explosion of a nitrate-laden ship on the waterfront, the disaster quickly spreads to the huge $19 million Monsanto plant, whose synthetic rubber chemicals add to the Holocaust, sending smoke billowing to 4,000 feet.
It was 1947, before television, so newsreels brought the disaster to moviegoers in lurid excess.
Blast after blast all but obliterates the city and turns the area into a sea of searing flame.
It is still the biggest industrial disaster in American history. The death toll was nearly 600, over 3,500 wounded. Texas City's misery was the lead story across the nation for days. After the story faded, in short order came the first book about the disaster, then yearly newspaper articles, and then the occasional television show, emphasizing death, devastation, and peril.
This is the story of Texas City, a story of survival.
My name is Julio Luna, Jr., and I was aboard the Grand Camp the day of the Texas City explosion.
The Grand Camp was the French ship that exploded that day. Julio Luna had been loading it earlier. He and two friends were in his car just driving away when the ship blew.
And they shoved that car of mine around on that ditch, and I backed it up again and took off trying to get away from that deal. And then we saw stuff falling, you know, it blew up. And we managed to make it out of there. And Pee Wee Long and Wade says, you know what, let's go back and help him. We turned around and went back, and we helped into the night. And we helped the following day.
My name is Ken DeMette. I had a personal stake in this explosion. I viewed it. I was there.
Ken DeMette was working outside, 3 miles away. Even so, the concussion nearly knocked him over. He headed immediately to the now blazing port area.
As I approached, the first thing I noticed was a big black man carrying a body out on his shoulder and laying it down in the clear and then returning into that inferno, and then coming back again. And I stopped him. And I said, are these your friends or your relatives? He said, no. He said, I don't even know them. He said, but they need my help, and I'm helping them. And someone told me that he'd been down into that inferno at least a dozen times. Every time I think of that, it just sends chills through me. As soon as that first explosion occurred on the Grand Camp, people from all over the country began to call in to see what could be done.
It seemed to me like the whole United States came. I know that they didn't, but it just seemed like it. God, I never had seen so many people gather to try to help.
And what you found were people really responding informally, yet moving collectively, if you will, wanting to help, hearing about it, and just responding.
We had nurses and doctors jump in their cars from all the surrounding communities, from Houston, from as far away as Dallas, to come down and try to help. Not only nurses and doctors, but plain old John Doe's, people that didn't have any business being there, but they came. They wanted to help, and they came to get the injured out of the area and later to help remove bodies and later to clean up some of the damage.
And that's where I saw your service organizations, like the Red Cross, you know, and Salvation Army.
The Lions Club, the Rotary Club, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, almost any large fraternal-type organization that you can think of either sent folks there, wrote checks, boarded up some boxes with food, clothing, supplies, and just shipped it to Texas City.
There were airplanes that flew in full of goods, materials, clothing, food, whatever was needed. And they came as far away as the East Coast and the West Coast.
I remember bread trucks, you know, just come in with a load of bread. If you wanted it, there it is. Just take it.
Money was immediately needed, and it was forthcoming. I know there were funds taken up all over the country.
Texas City spawned the first great post-disaster fundraisers, and the great stars of the day gather pretty quickly to conduct fundraisers and traveling caravans around the country. Frank Sinatra, Red Skelton, and Jack Benny.
But ladies and gentlemen, at this engagement, We collected $28,222.50.
And that continued for, yes, quite a few months. And I think the help kept coming as long as there was a need for it. That continued. And it stopped after the need was gone.
You know, we may sit here dormant all of our lives, but something like that happens, you'd be surprised how many people would show up, you know, to help you. That's the good part, you know.
This is Wayne Bell, KUT News.